Sunday, October 11th. Matt Francis. Genesis chapter 30.
We're going to turn to Genesis chapter 30. I think I'm going to break my record this morning for the longest reading. I said that last week. I didn't quite use those words, but this one's even longer. Genesis chapter 30, verse 25. And we're going to go right through to the end of chapter 31. I'd encourage you to stay with it because it's an important, well, it's an interesting story. This is real life. It happened. You can, as we read it, try and put yourself in the situation of some of the characters. We're going to see something of Laban. We're going to think about Jacob. Rachel and Leah appear briefly. So let's try and stay with it as we go through Genesis chapter 30 and verse 25. After Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me on my way so that I can go back to my own homeland. Give me my wives and children for whom I have served you, and I will be on my way. You know how much work I've done for you." But Laban said to him, "If I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you." He added, "Name your wages, and I will pay them." Jacob said to him, "You know how I have worked for you and how your livestock have fared under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. But now, When may I do something for my own household?" "What shall I give you?" he asked. "Don't give me anything," Jacob replied. "But if you will do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them. Let me go through all your flocks today and remove from them every speckled or spotted sheep, every dark-coloured lamb and every spotted or speckled goat. They will be my wages, and my honesty will testify for me in the future, whenever you check on the wages you have paid me. Any goat in my possession that is not speckled or spotted, or any lamb that is not dark-coloured, will be considered stolen." "Agreed," said Laban. "Let it be as you have said." That same day he removed all the male goats that were streaked or spotted, and all the speckled or spotted female goats, all that had white on them, and all the dark-coloured lambs, and he placed them in the care of his sons. Then he put a 3-day journey between himself and Jacob, while Jacob continued to tend the rest of Laban's flocks. Jacob, however, took fresh-cut branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees, and made white stripes on them by peeling the bark and exposing the white inner wood of the branches. Then he placed the peeled branches in all the watering troughs so that they would be directly in front of the flocks when they came to drink. When the flocks were in heat and came to drink, they mated in front of the branches, and they bore young that were streaked or speckled or spotted. Jacob set apart the young of the flock by themselves, but made the rest face the streak and dark-coloured animals that belonged to Laban. Thus he made separate flocks for himself and did not put them with Laban's animals. Whenever the stronger females were in heat, Jacob would place the branches in the troughs in front of the animals so that they would mate near the branches. But if the animals were weak, he would not place them there. So the weak animals went to Laban, and the strong ones to Jacob. In this way the man grew exceedingly prosperous, and came to own large flocks, and maidservants, and menservants, and camels, and donkeys. Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, "Jacob has taken everything our father owned, and has gained all this wealth from what belonged to our father." And Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude towards him was not what it had been. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent word to Rachel and Leah to come out to the fields where his flocks were. He said to them, "I see that your father's attitude towards me is not what it was before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I've worked for your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. If he said, 'The speckled ones will be your wages,' then all the flocks gave birth to speckled young. And if he said, 'The streaked ones will be your wages,' then all the flocks bore streaked young. So God has taken away your father's livestock and has given them to me. In the breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and saw that the male goats mating with the flock were streaked, speckled, or spotted. The angel of God said to me in the dream, 'Jacob.' I answered, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land.' Then Rachel and Leah replied, 'Do we still have any share in the inheritance of our father's estate? Does he not regard us as foreigners? Not only has he sold us, but he has used up what was paid for us. Surely all the wealth that God took away from our father belongs to us and our children. So do whatever God has told you.' Then Jacob put his children and his wives on camels, and he drove all his livestock ahead of him, along with all the goods he had accumulated in Padan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. When Laban had gone to shear his sheep, Rachel stole her father's household gods. Moreover, Jacob deceived Laban, the Aramean, by not telling him he was running away. So he fled with all he had, and crossing the river, he headed for the hill country of Gilead. On the third day, Laban was told that Jacob had fled. Taking his relatives with him, he pursued Jacob for 7 days and caught up with him in the hill country of Gilead. Then God came to Laban the Aramean in a dream at night and said to him, 'Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad.' Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country of Gilead when Laban overtook him, and Laban and his relatives camped there too. Then Laban said to Jacob, 'What have you done? You've deceived me, and you've carried off my daughters like captives in war. Why did you run off secretly and deceive me? Why didn't you tell me so that I could send you away with joy and singing to the music of tambourine and harps? You didn't even let me kiss my grandchildren and my daughters goodbye. You have done a foolish thing. I have the power to harm you. But last night the God of your father said to me, "Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad." Now you have gone off because you longed to return to your father's house. But why did you steal my gods?' Jacob answered Laban, 'I was afraid because I thought you would take your daughters away from me by force. But if you find anyone who has your gods, he shall not live. In the presence of our relatives, see for yourself whether there is anything of yours here with me. And if so, take it.' Now Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen the gods. So Laban went into Jacob's tent and into Leah's tent and into the tent of the two maidservants, but he found nothing. After he came out of Leah's tent, he entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household gods and put them inside her camel's saddle and was sitting on them. Laban searched through everything in the tent, but found nothing. Rachel said to her father, "Don't be angry, my lord, that I cannot stand up in your presence. I'm having my period." So he searched, but could not find the household gods. Jacob was angry and took Laban to task. "What is my crime?" he asked Laban. "What sin have I committed that you hunt me down? Now that you have searched through all my goods, what have you found that belongs to your household? Put it here in front of your relatives and mine, and let them judge between the two of us. I have been with you for 20 years now. Your sheep and goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten rams from your flocks. I did not bring you animals torn by wild beasts. I bore the loss myself, and you demanded payment from me for whatever was stolen by day or night. This was my situation. The heat consumed me in the daytime, and the cold at night, and sleep fled from my eyes. It was like this for the 20 years I was in your household. I worked for you 14 years for your two daughters, and 6 years for your flocks, and you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, you would surely have sent me away empty-handed. But God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands, and last night he rebuked you." Laban answered Jacob, "The women are my daughters, the children are my children, and the flock are my flocks. All you see is mine. Yet what can I do today about these daughters of mine, or about the children they have borne? Come now, let's make a covenant, you and I, and let it serve as a witness between us." So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. He said to his relatives, "Gather some stones." So they took stones and piled them in a heap, and they ate there by the heap. Laban called it Jegar Sabadotha, and Jacob called it Galeed. Laban said, "This heap is a witness between you and me today." That is why it was called Galeed. It was also called Mizpah, because he said, "May the Lord keep watch between you and me when we are away from each other. If you ill-treat my daughters, or if you take any wives beside my daughters, even though no one is with us, remember that God is a witness between you and me." Laban also said to Jacob, "Here is this heap, and here is this pillar I have set up between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not go past this heap to your side to harm you, and that you will not go past this heap and pillar to my side to harm me. May the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us." So Jacob took an oath in the name of the fear of his father Isaac. He offered a sacrifice there in the hill country and invited his relatives to a meal. After they had eaten, they spent the night there. Early the next morning, Laban kissed his grandchildren and his daughters and blessed them. Then he left and returned home. Well, in that reading, Jacob had a dream. It's in chapter 31, verse 11. And the angel of God came to him in a dream. The angel of the Lord himself, came to Jacob in a dream, as he had done before. And one of the things he said there in verse 12 is, "I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you." That comes out later as well in what Laban says, or what Jacob says in speaking to Laban. He talks about how God saw, God sees. The Lord sees, Jesus sees. That's our title this morning, very simple. Jesus sees. Sometimes we just need to remember that, don't we? Those two words. In the midst of difficulty, conflict, Jesus sees, which means he knows. And he always knows what to do. So we're going to spend a bit of time thinking about Laban this morning, and then Jacob. If I was to ask you to just say words that describe Laban, I think I would get words like greedy, cheat, deceiver, liar, proud, maybe clever, manipulative, crafty, tricky. He outsmarted Jacob. Before Jacob went to Laban's house, Jacob was the undisputed deceiving champion of the world. But for 20 years, Laban became the undisputed deceiving champion of the world, outdoing Jacob. Here is a crafty man. He used his daughters in the kind of way you might have used sheep or goats at the cattle market to trade. Doesn't come over well, does he? 7 years for each of them he got out of Jacob. And then when Jacob says, it's time for me to go and take care of my own family, return to where I came from, Laban has those pound signs, well, they wouldn't have been pound signs, shekel signs, or whatever you want to say, light up in his eyes. How can I exploit him further? They come up with a deal to decide which sheep Jacob's going to get. And this deal is the speckled, the spotted, the dark-coloured sheep and goats. But a shepherd was supposed to be typically paid in those days, one in every five of the flock anyway. And by all accounts, there would have been less than one in five speckled or spotted sheep. So what Jacob was asking was lower and less than what a shepherd would have got. And yet he is Laban's flesh and blood, who's married to Laban's daughters. This all highlights the kind of man that Laban was. And even then Laban cheated. He gave Jacob nothing to start with. He took every sheep that fitted that description and he gave them to his sons. So there's no way Jacob really, without God, would have got any to himself. But the most tragic thing about Laban isn't his greed or his lying, his cheating, his deceit, his manipulation. It's the fact that he was totally self-deceived, totally blind to his own sin, his own faults, and to what he was like. And that is perhaps the most tragic situation anybody can be in life, is to actually think they're one thing, but be so far away from the truth of what they're actually like. Here was a man who was totally self-deceived. A couple of times he said, in the bit we read, just to try and be even-handed on Laban before I really lay into him, he said he could see that the Lord was blessing Jacob. So you think, oh, well, his eyes are open a bit. He knows what's going on. I mean, he'd said that years before when Abraham's servant had come looking for a wife. He could see that the Lord had blessed Abraham. Now he'd seen it again here with Jacob. But all he saw that as an opportunity for was, well, all the while Jacob's around, I can cash in. I can fill my own pocket. Just use it as a way of making money for myself. Christians can be good people to hang around with a lot of the time. Now, most of the time, I haven't enjoyed playing football with Christians because sometimes, actually, church matches can be the most dirty games you ever play in. I've been playing football recently, although it's had to stop because I can't travel outside of Flintshire, with a group of men, and it's been a lovely spirit. I know nobody's out to try and break your legs. It's really nice. It's fair. But let's not be like Laban and just see people who love Jesus as nice people to hang around with, but actually I don't want to have anything to do with the Jesus that they know. It's just something to get out of them because I like them. So Jacob had to run away. And Laban went after him. And Laban took with him his whole clan, his whole family. So it would have been a fairly sizable army. Jacob had no chance of defending himself. But God spoke to Laban, didn't he? It's recorded there in verse 24 of chapter 31. Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. Leave him alone. Don't touch him. And when Laban gets there, he accuses Jacob, there in verse 26, you've deceived me. You kind of read that and think, come on, Laban, get a grip. How can you accuse anybody of deceiving you? You keep changing his wages. You kept swapping. You stole all the sheep that you said were his. You've deceived me, he says. And then he talks about my daughters. That's there in verse 26. He says it again in verse 28. My grandchildren and my daughters. But we know something that Laban doesn't know, but probably should have done. Earlier on, Jacob had called Rachel and Leah to himself. And he had been very upfront with them about what had happened, how Laban had cheated him, how he had exploited him for 20 years, how really he had exploited them as his daughters and wasn't going to give anything to them. And so when we hear Laban talking about my daughters, by that point, they're not his daughters. They've made their decision. They've seen through Laban's wickedness, his cheating. And they've said, we're with you, Jacob. We're coming with you. We're on your side. We're on the side of truth. They've chosen really to have nothing to do with cheating, exploiting Laban. And he can't see it. So he looks stupid here when he keeps talking about his daughters. Verse 27, he says, why didn't you tell me so that I could send you away with joy and singing to the music of tambourines and harps? Do you think he would have done that? The only recorded party we've got that Laban threw was one where, guess what he did? He used it to cheat Jacob and to get another 7 years out of him. So any party who would have thrown would have had a purpose about it, and it would have all been about Laban. And how could he use that party to get even more out of Jacob and his daughters? You get to verse 43. And he's heard what Jacob has said, and he said, the women are my daughters, the children are my children, the flock are my flocks, all you see is mine. It's rubbish. He'd entered into an agreement with Jacob about his daughters, which was have been legally binding, and Jacob had satisfied it. They were his wives. He'd entered into an agreement about the flocks. They were Jacob's flocks. But he's so self-deceived. And then to cap it all, in verse 50, he says to Jacob, if you ill treat my daughters, come off it, Laban. Read through this passage. Who's the one who's ill-treating your daughters? It's you, Laban. He He was blind. He saw himself as a great family man, caring, generous, throwing parties for them. His daughters, Jacob, they saw the truth. But more importantly, somebody else saw the truth. The Lord. Because he sees. And he knows. And he cannot be deceived. Laban would have perhaps been deceived further by thinking, well, the Lord's blessing me. But he was blessed for a while, but then he came under the curse that all will face who oppose the Lord Jesus Christ. By setting himself up against Jacob, he was opposing the Lord himself. And he came under a curse and he ended up really losing everything. It's not very nice spending time thinking about somebody like Laban, is it? But it causes us to search ourselves. Are you deceiving yourself? So easy to justify sin. To justify sinful actions. So really, I guess questions to ask. Well, am I like Laban? What was Laban like? Well, he'd be pointing out faults in other people. If you're somebody that's prone to doing that often, pointing out faults in others, that's often a sign that actually you're trying to cover up faults in your own life. Maybe you're trying to deceive yourself. Do you find yourself justifying doing wrong things? The Bible says this, but actually in this situation I'm not going to do that. Because, and you can give a reason. Beware of a Laban-like spirit. That can lead to a hardness and a further hardness that eventually could lead to a total blindness where you're deceiving yourself. Don't play sin down. Maybe people have tried to talk to Laban. But he refused to listen. That's another bad sign as well of a Laban-like spirit. Jesus had a lot to say about this kind of thing when he spoke to the Pharisees. Jesus had a lot to say about this kind of thing when he gave those instructions in Matthew 7 about not having this critical, judgmental spirit. That very memorable picture about the plank in your own eye and the speck in somebody else's eye. He doesn't say you're not to look at the speck, but we're to deal with the plank first. There's an attitude that has to be right. The heart has to be right. I was thinking about Laban last week. I couldn't help but think about Satan's words to the Lord Jesus Christ when he tempted him. All this I will give you if you bow down and worship me. As if it was his to give. Laban's a bit like that. Satan is the liar and the deceiver. And he's a wicked master who enslaves and ultimately murders. He promises much. If you're not in Christ, then the Bible says you're in him. Ultimately, you belong to the evil one. And he will deceive you and keep you away from Jesus and promise much. But he's a liar. And a murderer. And the wages that he will give you are death. Maybe you've been on the receiving end of a Laban. Go back to the words we started with. Jesus sees. It's wonderful, isn't it, that the angel of God came along to Jacob and says, I've seen all that Laban's been doing. That's comforting, isn't it? Take heart. He sees. Justice will be done. It's one of the things that was striking. We've been reading through 1 Kings this month, and there in chapter 2, we thought about this briefly at the beginning of our elders' meeting on Wednesday morning. David hands over to Solomon, and he says, oh, you remember that chap who wronged me? You remember that chap? You'll know what to do, Solomon. I didn't say chap, he gave their names. Joab, Shimei were two of them. And then Solomon's given tremendous wisdom. What's that passage teaching us? It's teaching us that justice will be done by the Lord Jesus Christ, the one greater than Solomon. And when you get to Shimei, who ends up being put to death because he left Jerusalem, maybe you feel a little bit sorry for him. You shouldn't, because he entered into the agreement. He said, yeah, that's fine. I won't leave. He swore an oath. And then when he did leave, justice fell upon him. Again, it's a great picture of the day of judgment. Justice will be done. And nobody will be able to question it and say, well, that's not fair, because we'll know that it is fair. Just as Shimei knew it was fair. As we think about Laban, perhaps the best thing to think about when we think of Laban is that Jesus is not like Laban. Might sound like stating the obvious, but I think it's really important. Jesus sees. He knows all of our vulnerabilities. He knows every weakness that we have. But he never uses those to exploit us, or to cheat us, or to rob us. He's the truth. He knows our every weakness. And yet he comes alongside. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't take and take and take and take. He gives and gives and gives and gives. And he made himself of no reputation. He became poor in order to give. He gave of his very self, his whole being, upon the cross. Reputation in tatters as people accused him of all sorts of things. Seen by his father as sin, because he was made to be sin for us. And he experienced that wrath for us. He gives and he gives and he gives, becoming poor in order to give life. So unlike Laban. And he shares with us what is his by rights. He's the son. He's merited, earned all of these blessings through his perfect life as the man. And yet he shares that inheritance with us, that glory. His glory will be seen in us. We're adopted as his children. And he's sympathetic, merciful, kind. And to pull on another picture from 1 Kings, we're not going to be disappointed ever in Jesus. We're not going to get to that day where we see him face to face and sort of, that was a bit of a letdown. Remember the Queen of Sheba's words, not even the half has been told. That's going to be our experience on that day. Well, it won't even be a half, will it? It'll be like just a tiny dot, what we know, compared to what we'll see on that day and what we'll experience in him. We're not going to go on to Jacob this morning. That's a good place to finish, really. How unlike Laban Jesus is. He sees, he doesn't disappoint. I put a hymn on Facebook, a hymn, very well known hymn, And Can It Be? Just that line, Jesus and all in him is mine. Later on in the hymn, it talks about how he emptied himself of all but love, became nothing. The Jesus who sees, we can be confident in the one who sees and who gives and who gives and who gives. And as Jacob recognized, if the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, you would have surely sent me away empty-handed. On that day, we're not going to be empty-handed. The blessings that we will have, eternal blessings, in Christ will be glorious. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the relevance of your word to us even this day. Some of these things are difficult. They're hard for us to hear and read. Give us honest hearts before you. Lord, may we recognize that you are the God of justice. May we be able to wait upon you, knowing that you see and that you will deal with things and that we can leave things with you. Help us to see the glory of Jesus, a loving, merciful, faithful master who gives and gives and gives and gives. And on that day when we see him, we won't be disappointed. Not even the half will have been told. We won't be empty-handed. Lord, we thank you for this inheritance that is being kept for us, that won't perish, spoil or fade. And so we pray that you'd help us to keep going, knowing that our Lord and Saviour, who is at your right hand, sees and he knows and he's moved with compassion. We give you our thanks and our praise in Jesus' name. Amen.